Welcome to 24/7 World Radio Podcast on this most beautiful day, Wednesday, April the 9th, 2025, with Brother Eric John Phelps coming to you today, with also my special guest, Stephen Drake. I almost said Dr. Stephen Drake.
Not yet and probably never.
Okay, well, Brother Stephen, he's going to be further giving our chapters on his book, Jesuit World Order. And so, Brother Stephen, welcome to the broadcast.
Good evening, Brother Eric. And we meet here tonight for broadcast number 50, believe it or not. What do you call that? Is that a bicentennial?
I guess so. Bicentennial.
All right, we've flown through the years. So we've, of course, been taking a look at my upcoming book together, titled Jesuit World Order, the subtitle of which is The History and Destiny of Man, explored through the lens of COOF-19, using our code word. This will be our fourth broadcast reviewing material from Chapter 11, The Great Reset, Communism Meets Fascism for a Digital Dark Age. Last week, we examined the precedent for FEMA re-education camps in America. Today, we're going to take a look at the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which are terms that were popularized with COOF-19.
Wow. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, the Fourth Industrial Revolution going back to the Dark Ages, not forward to prosperity and freedom and freedom of press, conscience, and speech. Yep. None of that.
That's right. They use these terms that sound laudable and, we're going to, have an industrial advancement. But you can be sure if these people are behind it, it's going to be the opposite of what you want.
That's exactly correct. Well, the Jesuit order and their Counter-Reformation, anything they can do to bring us back to the Pope's Dark Ages. And that's what they do on every front with every science.
Sure, and it's always going to be backwards to advancement, which brings us right to our scripture for today, which puts us back in Isaiah. This time we'll be taking a look at chapter 5, verse 20, which reads as follows. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Unquote. The import of this verse, as explained by Barnes in his commentary, is as follows. Darkness in the scriptures is the emblem of ignorance, error, false doctrine, and crime. Light denotes truth, knowledge, piety. This clause, therefore, expresses in a figurative but more emphatic manner what was said in the previous member of the verse, by which he means putting evil for good. Therefore, with its Ignatian motto, what I see white, I believe to be black, it's no marvel that we should find the so-called Society of Jesus spearheading the devil's mystery of iniquity, or anomia lawlessness, if we consult the Greek, which seeks to restore the papal dark age on the wings of ignorance, superstition, perversion, crime, and vice.
Is that Barnes or is that you?
This is me.
Okay, good, good. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, we.
I'm sure he wasn't that enlightened as to write those words. So thank you.
Well, and that's one of the things we're blessed to be in this time where God is revealing these things in a, more clear manner for all the world to see the fruits of this great mystery of iniquity.
Amen.
And then so this dark light of Lucifer, I call it, that animates the order is manifest in their official monogram, the black sun, the dark light of Lucifer, the 36 points of dark illumination thereof, which triangularly add up to 666, as we discussed in broadcast number 22, when we touched upon sun worship as it related to the etymology of that word that starts with a C and rhymes with Sharona, which we are forbidden to speak on air by the YouTube censors.
All right, the good old Jesuit YouTube censors. But that Irish Catholic heading it up. I think he's second in command.
I think his name's Hennessy, as I recall.
Hennessy, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And so, as we're going to see in this broadcast, these sinners literally want to dethrone God in favor of their criminally defunct system that nobody in their right mind would embrace, which is the very reason why they have to resort to mind control and conspiracy. This is in great contrast to our Savior, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who said in John 18, verse 20, that he shared his teachings openly and did nothing in secret. And to hear the ultimate conclusion of these matters, we turn next to the prophetic second psalm of David, which asks rhetorically, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Addressing this disposition of the wicked, the inspired author then writes, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. For he has given his son, the heathen, it says, or the nations, for his inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for his possession. And it then states that he will break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And thus does the psalmist conclude, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
Amen. It's a wonderful psalm.
Amen.
Psalm 2 is so full of everything. The deity of Christ, his manhood, his future millennial kingdom, it's all there. Amen.
Amen. All the Psalms are just marvelously prophetic when you break them down in light of the whole of Scripture. And it gives us the ending of this great saga between the mystery of godliness and the mystery of iniquity. The Jesuits spearheading the one under the devil and God's unworthy remnant made worthy by the blood of his son spearheading the other.
Amen. I couldn't say it better, my brother. Everything devolves around the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all jurisdiction in heaven and in earth. And to him, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So it's just a matter of time. We're waiting. We're playing a waiting game while we evangelize, and the Lord uses us to reach his elect that he has chosen before the foundation of the world.
The Lord Jesus Christ, who I believe it's according to Colossians 1:15, created all things.
That's right.
And to whom every knee will bow and tongue confess, and who holds all things together by his power. Every atom and molecule and, you know, galaxy or whatever is out there. Nebulas.
That's exactly right. He holds all things together by the word of his power. By him, all things consist. So he holds everything together, further proving his deity. And the big attack today is the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the main target for all these pagan Muslims and pagan Jews and pagan Mormons and pagan JWs. They cannot stand the very God-man, very much 100% man, 100% God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the stone of stumbling, the rock of offense. And for that reason.
Yes, sir. Every false religion seeks to undermine this, and even Seventh-day Adventism, originally in the Seventh-day Adventist commentary, Ellen White had a statement in there denying the deity of Christ, and then later reneged and retracted it. But, you know, if we just look to the scriptures as our source, it will be very apparent. We just take, for instance, when there was a question about Christ's age by the Pharisees, and he said, you know, before Abraham was, I am.
I am, ego I me, the very name of God in Exodus 3, what, 12, 14. When Moses said, who shall I say sent me to the children of Israel? Tell them, I am that I am has sent you. So that very name of God given to Moses is the very name Christ used when he was facing off with the Pharisees. And that's why they picked up stones to stone him.
That's what I was going to say. They knew what he meant because they picked up stones.
That's
So
right.
there's no question. Amen. So praise God. And to get right into our feature presentation at this point, as has been demonstrated over the course of the last three chapters of my book that we've reviewed on air, and I don't know how many broadcasts I've spent cumulatively, but probably 15 to 20 anyways for the three chapters. But what we have demonstrated is that from the Dark Ages to the New World Disorder, the aims, the modes, and the omnipresence of tyrants has changed very little over the centuries. In fact, the only thing that has changed are the names and faces in order to better conceal, or to mask, if you will, the common Roman origin. And in keeping with this policy, the New World Order is now being referred to as the Great Reset by the likes of Time magazine, for instance. Now, go ahead if you have a comment you'd like to make, brother.
Yeah, what a deceptive term, the Great Reset. Yeah. Instead of saying the Great Degenerative Reversion, we'll call it the Great Reset. Well, you know, they always name things exactly what the opposite of what they're doing. Like the Patriot Act has nothing to do with patriotism. And so they're masters at, like you said, calling good evil and evil good. And you have to know their history and their wordology and their Jesuitism to figure out what they're really saying.
Of course, and it's interesting, and the things that they're calling for, which we are going to quote them directly over the course of the next couple podcasts here, it will become apparent just how prophetic the times that we're living in are, because essentially what they're wanting to do is use technology and stuff to literally dethrone God and bring to pass like literal utopia on earth through technology and stuff, and it's but without God. And
right.
So it's the culmination of the mystery of iniquity, or the dark light of Lucifer, because the Masons call him he who bears the light. Then he brings this false light, even as the Apostle Paul warned that his ministers would do.
That's right. In the lodge, when you're going for the third degree, and they're asking, what do you seek? Well, I'm seeking the light. And David Brainerd, who wrote the tremendous work, Light on Masonry, was a Baptist preacher, and he said the most despicable thought of a Baptist minister, someone who believes the scripture, going into the Masonic Lodge and saying that they're seeking the light when he has the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, is just an abomination.
Oh, sure. And of course, you can never take the vows that they put incumbent upon you if you are a serious follower of the Messiah, believer in the Word of God. So now this term, Great Reset, was originally coined by Klaus Schwab and his World Economic Forum, who we tied directly to the Vatican in broadcast number 21. And so at this juncture, we quote next from an article on the World Economics Forum website, published October 9th, 2020, titled, Here's the Pope's Prescription for Resetting the Global Economy in Response to COVID-19. And it reads as follows. The story did not end the way it was meant to, Pope Francis wrote recently, deftly excommunicating about half a century's worth of economic ideology. In a striking 43,000-word-long encyclical published last Sunday, the Pope put his stamp on efforts to shape what's been termed a great reset of the global economy in response to the devastation of COVID-19. The story he's referring to is neoliberalism, a philosophy espousing austerity, privatization, deregulation, unbridled markets, and relatively weak labor laws. While it's been faithfully told through innumerable economists and policymakers since the 1970s and put into practice in prominent ways, the Pope believes this tale has now worn thin. He is not alone, unquote.
Yeah. Anything that's going to produce prosperity and individuality and nationality, he's utterly condemned.
That's right. And as we know here, in this broadcast, as we interpret all things in accordance to the Word of God, which puts forth this great dichotomy of Christ versus Satan, Reformation versus Counter-Reformation, the whole purpose for destroying any sort of a middle class is to make sure that nobody has any time or intelligence to possibly be able to resist these very dark age machinations.
That's right. Just working to death. They got to work, work, work to pay their bills, and they don't have any time for any introspection or research or study. That's
Or
exactly what's going on.
beautiful luxuries of life, such as artwork and music, and
Yes. Because when art dies, the culture's dying. When people no longer have the ability to spend time doing something artistic, their culture's dead because they don't have the ability to be artistic because they're constantly slaving away.
Well, that's right. And what will can there be to live if all you do is slave away and you can't even afford to have a family or, So they're certainly not, they don't have that life-giving spirit. But now, what's especially important to point out here, as we've discussed previously, what the papacy likes to do is create all these different front organizations that they can scapegoat. And so the World Economic Forum is just one example, so that all the people that do superficial research but are aware of a conspiracy, well, they can say, oh, look, it's the World Economic Forum. Oh, look, it's Klaus Schwab. Well, so here we have, in shoe leather, so to speak, the evidence that this Great Reset was confirmed by a 43,000 word encyclical. All roads lead to Rome. Now, in order to better understand what this so-called Great Reset entails, we turn now to Schwab's book, which was titled Coof 19, The Great Reset, identifying the two. And perhaps one of the most telling paragraphs contained therein comes from page 38, which reads as follows. In the words of John Micklethwaite and Adrian Woolridge, the COVID-19 plandemic has made governments important again. Not just powerful again, look at those once mighty companies begging for help, but also vital again. It matters enormously whether your country has a good health service, competent bureaucrats, and sound finances. Good government is the difference between living and dying. Which might be the only truth that comes out of this quote.
I was just going to say, absolutely right, because the governments are killing the people.
That's right, exactly. So he says, one of the great lessons of the past 5 centuries in Europe and America is this: acute crisis, COVID 19 IN, contribute to boosting the power of the state. It's always been the case, and there is no reason why it should be different with the COVID 19 pandemic. Historians point to the fact that the rising fiscal resources of capitalist countries from the 18th century onwards were always closely associated with the need to fight wars, particularly those that took place in distant countries and required, get this, Brother Eric, maritime capacities. Since then, the responses to major crises have always further consolidated the power of the state, starting with taxation. A few examples illustrating the point strongly suggest that this time, as in the past, taxation will increase. As in the past, the social rationale and political justification underlying the increase will be based upon the narrative of countries at war. And of course, I add this time against a quote unquote invisible enemy, but I'm sure that you probably have some comments after hearing
Absolutely.
that.
Absolutely. This military government, this emergency war powers military government, in 1943 put the income tax on a man's wages. They started that, what's called the Current Tax Payment Act. And that's when the military government, run by Democrats for the most part, deceptively put on the American worker exercising his fundamental right to work an excise tax on his wages when he didn't owe it, unless he filled out a W-4 that contract with an unqualified signature. They duped them all to contract away their fundamental right to take a federal privilege to work. And when the wages were earned out of that federal privilege, they then could excise tax those wages with what's called an income tax. So to justify war, we need bombers, we need fighters. And that's why that's how they pulled it off. A very horrible, terrible theft that they pulled on us now since 1943.
Yes, sir. And so now they're going to make war on us, the people, under the guise of fighting a so-called invisible enemy, which I maintain is the mystical body of Christ, primarily the invisible church, as it's called.
Right.
The heretics and liberals.
Right. Heretics and liberals condemned by the Council of Trent. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And so we are the targets.
And everybody else is just collateral damage.
That's right.
Even the good Catholics.
Of course, them. The good Catholics are his greatest servants. I was just seeing, checking out a couple things yesterday. I found out that Steve Bannon and Kellyanne Conway, those two good Catholics, are both counsel for national policy. I mean, they're the biggest leaders of the devil's mystery of iniquity in the country, seconded by Jews that are loyal to them, but they lead the way.
Busy, 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 doing nothing good but stirring the pot and implementing more tyranny.
That's exactly right.
Worthy of a better cause, their devotion.
Yeah.
So in one video dated June 2020 from the World Economics Forum official YouTube channel, we are visually informed that the Great Reset also entails combating so-called climate change and overpopulation, increased social unrest, which they will be sure that we have, the rise of radical groups like Black Lives Matter, a war against capitalism in the name of class struggle, and the implementation of medical tyranny.
But you sure got that one. And by the way, for people that are wanting to resist this and keep up on that, one of the greatest writers I've ever seen, I get his daily email, is John Rappaport. He's really good on resisting the medical tyranny.
Amen. Further pulling back the curtain on what the Great Reset so-called entails, the World Economic Forum's agenda coordinator, contributor, Yuval Noah Harari stated during an April 2020 interview with James Corden, not to be confused with the aforementioned James, he said, people could look back in 100 years and identify the Sharona bug, plandemic, as the moment when a new regime of surveillance took over, especially surveillance under the skin. Now, we note in passing, according to Oxford Languages Dictionary, the definition of a regime is a government, especially an authoritarian one. It should be noted also that Mr.
A republic and a civilian government doesn't have a regime. That's right. Very good.
Military language.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be noted, too, that Mr. Harari, as the World Economic Forum's agenda contributor, is somebody in favor of this so-called Great Leap for Mankind. And when you read his statements that we'll get to in a little bit here, you will have doubts as if he could be serious making these statements. And we'll detail, too, why that is the case. But needless to say, the World Economic Forum had another video on their channel, since removed, but that's been archived in my book, and you can find it on web.archive.org, leaving no question that global communism is what's intended through this Great Reset. In a statement that no one could possibly take seriously, they tell us that we will own nothing and yet supposedly be happy. Says you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Mm-hmm. And in this video, it goes on to inform us that in this system, which their Great Reset is putting upon us, the U.S. will no longer be the world's leading superpower. the values of Western civilization will be brought to a breaking point, which is a notion championed by Pius IX's so-called infallible syllabus of errors, published in 1864, which we discussed in detail in broadcast 31, and also in our survey of the protocols in broadcast number 45. It indicates also that socialized medicine will become prevalent as part of this new system. It says that people will have to learn to embrace foreign refugees, which is, of course, a notion championed.
Let all the alien Roman Catholic Hispanics invade the place and give them driver's license and $1,500 and a phone, which is what they do on the border when they were coming over, for the purpose of replacing us. It's not the Jews that are replacing us. It's the Jesuit orders, Roman Catholic, Hispanics, and people of color that are replacing white Protestants. That's what's really happening. And Baptists.
Well, you know, it's sad, and I have nothing at all against Puerto Rican people. I have some good friends that are Puerto Rican, but so many of them that are around here in New York State, of all places, they continue to hang their Puerto Rican flags in their rearview mirror, and you think, man, it doesn't seem like they're wanting to embrace this place as home with a gratefulness. And of course, that's, you know, like you always say, there's the generalized thing, and then there's the exceptions. And so in no way want to promulgate any sort of prejudice, but it's just
that it's not hatred. It's not, we're not talking about hateful prejudice. We are making a prejudgment based upon their behavior. And their behavior is generally they don't want to be Americans. They want to be Colombians. They want to be Haitians. They want to be Puerto Ricans. They're flying their flags. And so that further divides the country and prepares it for martial law. Because the only way you remedy that is by some absolutist dictator. And these ignorant people are playing into the hands of the Pope's white power structure. If Puerto Rico's so great, you need to go back there, man. If your Haiti's so great, go back there. But they're too hypocritical to go back there, and they don't want to embrace a culture that they can prosper from and they can be part of and want to help them build. So I get after them for that, brother. And these white people that hire them, they shouldn't be hiring them. If you're not here legally, I'm not hiring you to do anything for me. You can go back to your country and come in here legally because we have laws regulating that. But the Pope's all for this. And so what I say, what you ought to do is just bring in all of Africa into Italy. And flood Rome with Africans everywhere. And do you realize in World War II, a black man was not allowed in Rome? That's right. The Pope would not allow them there.
No way.
Yeah. So, talk about hypocrites. The Pope's the biggest hypocrite of all. If he's all for these other populations coming into historically white people aren't going to the other nations. It's the black nations. It's the Hispanic nations coming in our nations. And the Muslims. And that the Pope's behind all of it because he can't have the destruction of white nations driving them into the new right without these invaders. And so he facilitates it all. I was watching a special on Poland. And I think it's the Prime Minister of Poland said Putin is the one facilitating all these Muslims coming in or trying to get in to Poland. And he calls them dogs. And if they come into Poland, we shoot them. And that's how you handle invaders. And he said, Putin is behind it. He said, I hate Putin. Putin is the one that's putting these Muslims on, attempting to put them on those people in Poland. So there is resistance, but the only countries that are seemingly resisting it are historically white Catholic countries.
Fascinating. And I believe it was, wasn't it, Morris's foreign conspiracy against the U.S., where he really delineates how the Irish and Italians that were brought over here to Ellis Island were all Catholics, and how it was part of this papal plot.
Ellis Island was a little before, little after Morris wrote his great work, but the principle is still there. And R.W. Thompson writes in his book, The Papacy and the Civil Power tells about all these Hispanic Roman Catholics are being brought into America at the design of the papacy. So he wrote that in like 1880s, 1890s, something like that. So they just continue with their policy, and that's what we have today.
Sure. Maybe it was in Morris, as he talked about, was the Leopoldites.
The Leopold Foundation in Austria. That's right. Bringing in all these Catholics and the Jesuits operating out of Vienna for the purpose of doing that, taking over the major cities, taking over the politics, and then taking over the country, which is what Chanakya said with that meeting in Buffalo the Jesuits had in 1852.
Sure. Yep. And so, ultimately it's a sin problem, and the people that are coming over here just to use this place and don't want to incorporate. And then I would say even more sinfully guilty are the people that take advantage of these people and want to pay them, $5 an hour or whatever to
Peanuts.
work in their vineyards.
That's right. All these white people, white wealthy people facilitating this, and they couldn't care less about preserving a white nation that's historically Protestant and Baptist, because without those nations, there is no freedom, no Western civilization, no freedom of conscience, speech, whatever. There's no scientific advancements that don't exist without those nations. And so that's what the Jesuits want. They've hoarded all the technology into their own hands by using these white Protestant nations and their ability to design new things for their purposes of restoring the Dark Ages.
Oh, and another thing to know here, wasn't it the Jesuit priest John Lafarge that was very outspoken about embracing foreign refugees and
Yeah.
the like?
John Lafarge was the father of the civil rights movement that began in the 30s. And I cover him in my book, Vatican Assassins. And so that's exactly right, to embrace foreigners and to give preferential treatment to the blacks. That's all Jesuit. John Lafarge was the leader of it, and Lafarge lived to see Martin Luther King's March on Washington in 1963. I think he died in 63. But Lafarge has a book this talks about Catholic interracialism. I have it on my shelf. And they all the Jesuits are promoting that. Not that they cared about the blacks. They cared about destroying white countries that were historically Protestant, so they feigned love and affection for the blacks to use them to that end.
Sure. So, some other points here that are brought out in this World Economic Forum video delineating what the Great Reset entails. It also says, of course, as Schwab's quote brought out, that there will be more taxation. And then it says that a world court will be formed, which is, of course, something the Georgia Guidestones called for. And that's something that we'll be taking a deeper look at come chapter 17 when we do. The protocols of jibby-jabism. Now we learned from another World Economic Forum article, also since removed, and all this stuff can be found archived, that in the system they're setting up, there will also be conveniently no privacy. In a similar vein to this, in April, the 12th of April, 2020, right early on in the COOF phenomenon. MIT published an article titled, "We Need Mass Surveillance to Fight COOF-19, but it doesn't have to be creepy."
So it can be a subtle surveillance of everyone and everything, but everybody can be ignorant of it, not creepy. Wow.
Well, what that title really means is it's creepy.
It is creepy.
So now, while the appellation, the Great Reset, taken at face value, seems appropriate enough for throwing everything on its head and implementing a new world order, it turns out there's actually an occult meaning here as well. According to Webster's famous 1828 dictionary, the word reset means to harbor an outlaw or a criminal. In this way, the appellation Great Reset could also signify the harboring of so-called heretics and liberals by the nations of the world in such numbers that the papacy has seemed that it's become necessary to once again take action in a major and radical way.
Well, whenever they can restore the Inquisition, they surely will, and they look forward to it. So that's the roundup of heretics and liberals, incarcerating them, putting them in jail. And if you're going to do it in the old days, you just take them underground and torture a confession out of them by whatever torture you want to use, and then parade them down the streets the next day and burn them at the stake. So that was going on for 600 years, in this in Europe, and we were delivered from it, thank God, by the First Amendment. But the Jesuits are always ready to implement their favorite method of extermination, which is inquisitional torture and murder. That's why we have concentration camps. That's all Jesuit Inquisition, whether it's Russian or German or coming to America with the FEMA camps.
Yes, sir, and that's why our founders set up the Republic as they did, and I believe it was Ben Franklin that said eternal vigilance was the price of freedom, or if it was one of the other fathers, you'll correct me, brother.
Yeah, that was the eternal vigil. That's what I believe Franklin said that. And he also said, we've given you a republic if you can keep it.
There you go.
That's right. So there's, in other words, there's always somebody that wants to take that from you. So in your school education, there should be teachers that teach you who are the ones that want to destroy your republic, who are the ones that want to take freedom of conscience, speech, and press away from you. And that should be taught in every high school in their attempt to preserve what our founding fathers gave to us.
Sure, and this whole bent that we see inherent in man to oppress just shows, without a doubt, that we live in a fallen world and therefore vindicates the Bible as the Word of God.
Absolutely.
So, in order to unravel even more precisely what all of this entails, this especially this Industrial Revolution, and to illustrate the very extreme nature of it, especially when compared to those industrial revolutions so-called that preceded it, we turn again to Mr. Schwab, who popularized the term, and he says one of the features of this fourth industrial revolution is that it doesn't change what we are doing, but it changes us, he says. It changes you if you take genetic editing. Just as an example, it's you who are changed. And of course, this has a big, big impact on your identity. And of course, we'll go into even more detail on how so many people did take that genetic editing when they took the jibby jabs. But for the time being, we quote next from a 2016 World Economic Forum article titled The Four.
Let me just interject this, brother.
Yes, sir.
The Jesuits have been, are the masters of genetic engineering, and they've been doing it for probably 100 years. There's a movie out of Jesuit Hollywood that was released many years ago when Gregory Peck, that Roman Catholic who had an audience with the Pope, he was the leading personality in it, and he played Dr. Mengele. And the name of the program was The Boys from Brazil. And it was about Mengele cloning Hitler for 24 boys that he cloned, seeking to reproduce Adolf Hitler. And they first experimented, showed that it could be done with rabbits. And then they also then showed it could be done with people. And the Jesuits were telling us in that movie, The Boys from Brazil, exactly what they do, what they're working on, why they have presidents that look alike. They know how to clone individuals using the cells of the father and interjecting them in a special way. And Mengele was the one that was doing this in the movie. And of course, Mengele in Auschwitz had the most advanced, what is it, biological lab, path, was a pathology lab in the world. He had a tremendous lab, and that was all captured by the Russians, and I believe then given to the OSS to continue his work in America and in South America. So, in conclusion, the Jesuits are masters of genetic engineering. There is nobody that can compare with their knowledge and success, and they have all the money they could use, all the brains they could use. It's just a matter of accomplishing their goals, what they want to do.
Sure, amen. And what we're going to see is what they want to do is quite frightening. I don't even know if it's entirely possible what they want to do, or if it's all just more fear propaganda to get us to embrace them in some roundabout way. But we're going to start to get a clear idea of exactly what I mean going forth here. For instance, according to this 2016 World Economic Forum article titled The Fourth Industrial Revolution, What It Means, How to Respond, it says it will be characterized by a fusion of technologies that blur the lines between the physical, digital, and biological spheres. Now, we get glimpses into what will be demonstrated to be the relatively less extreme aspects of this notion by looking at countries like Sweden, for instance, where microchips implanted beneath the skin are being used to travel by train, to get into the gym, to pull up social media accounts, to make payments, to monitor health and vital signs, and also to supposedly, quote unquote, spot future plandemics at an early stage, according to one video. In China, the same type of technology is being used to make food purchases. And speaking of food, part of this rollout of new technology includes the ability to 3D print our food.
Kind
And
of like Star Trek, huh?
there you
I
go.
remember getting their drink. Yeah.
Are you hungry, Brother Eric?
Oh, and by the way, in Star Trek, they also portrayed some of the people eating crickets or eating grubs or whatever that was. They showed them eating insects, and of course, that's what they want to put on us now.
That's right, and I got a couple headlines here momentarily that will prove what you're saying to be true. The other thing that evidently that they're going to be able to do with this fourth industrial revolution is they have technologies in order to make food out of thin air by pulling elements from the environment. And they're doing all of this, of course, in the name of a more sustainable way of living. And as you've just informed us, Brother Eric, the World Economic Forum has indicated that we will eat the bugs, in the accent of Mr. Schwab, in order to save the supposedly overpopulated planet. Over
And Schwarzenegger's part of that. He's saying, I enjoy the vegetarianism more than the meat. So Schwarzenegger's pushing don't eat meat, which is a doctrine of devils,
That's
according
right. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, amen. Timothy's or Paul's epistle to Timothy.
to him. That's right.
Now, so over the last several years, the World Economic Forum has put out articles with the titles such as "Why We Need to Give Insects the Role They Deserve in Our Food Systems." And that was from.
It almost sounds like a joke,
I
but they're
know.
absolutely serious.
Yeah, it's rather bizarre, isn't it? So that was published July 2021. In January of 2022, they put out an article titled, "Will You Be Eating Insects Soon?" And February 2022, they put out one titled, "Five Reasons Why Eating Insects Can Reduce Climate Change."
You're kidding me.
No.
Whoa, that's outrageous. Well, you know what? Maybe they ought to all eat chocolate-covered ants. How about that one? There we go.
We'll feed them to the Pope.
That's right. Maybe have him eat them.
Get him some scorpions.
Yeah, one thing's for sure about the Pope, he never subscribes to his own medicine, ever. That's only you, infidel, heretic, liberal.
Amen. Now, also implicit in Clauss's definition of the fourth industrial revolution, the technologies to be introduced are also intended for the mass application of altering humans at a biological level, as can be seen in a compilation video, which has it's on BitChute, and it has a whole host of official videos from all sorts of different agencies compiled together, and it's titled "The Agenda Is Moving Fast. Are You Keeping Up?" It highlights technology which is being called the Internet of Bodies by those who are producing it and trying to push it as part of the new normal. And it indicates that it will include medical implants and other kinds of devices that go inside your body, and all together with the internet as a whole, comprise the Internet of Bodies. It will be an ecosystem, a bunch of devices that
That's
are connected.
unbelievable.
Oh,
That's
yeah.
outrageous.
Well, you wait. This
I
you haven't
can't
even
hear you,
heard the.
brother. I think you got off on us here.
Can you hear me
Are
now?
you there?
Mic check.
Are you there? Hopefully you need.
Check test, Brother Air. Can you hear me, brother?
Well, there's
Apparent
a
that you could
parent.
not hear me,
Okay, now I
and
can hear you. You're on, so you're back on, so we'll get going.
okay, I don't think we're.
Are you recording?
Well, it says error on my Here, I'll show you it here. I don't know. This might be live, just so you know. But it says here error for the live stream. So I don't know if it re-picked back up or what. All right, we're just gonna proceed as if we're live,
Yep.
and I think we are. So I'm gonna stop sharing here, and we will carry right on. So it says that it will be an ecosystem. A bunch of devices that are connected to the internet that contain software and that either collect personal health data about you or can alter the body's function.
That's unbelievable. I mean, it's believable, but outrageous, let's put it that way. And anybody who conspires to do this needs to be put to death.
It's horribly criminal and ungodly what they're trying to do. And they have no beneficent aims. Don't make any mistake about that.
That's right. That's exactly right. So they're murderers. And this is a form of mass murder. So therefore, they all needed to be executed who were participating in this, and also who designed it. Just trying to find a government that will do its duty to punish these sinners is the hard part. That's
Sure.
right. That's why we call for Declaration of Independence, start our own new nation, and we'll be the government to do that. We'll punish evil and reward good as we should, before God and with his blessing upon us. Go ahead.
And of course, if the Lord doesn't intervene, there may not be any justice until it's all said and done. God forbid.
Yeah, quite possible.
Now, it seems that the live stream is not going through, but you know what? We're just not going to worry about it. We're going to just keep going. We'll have the recording to put up on the website after. So, according to one Eleanor Powells, director of Anticipatory Intelligence Lab Science and Technology Innovation Program, she described this Internet of Bodies as follows: a way to automate computation and cognition, so we can now automate learning, perceiving, doing computation. It will be used in all our industries that will come into our professional networks, our private networks, our schools, our industries, and our offices. We will be under assessment. We'll be under a measure of computation in every aspect of our lives in the future, from what you eat, who you date, what you buy on the internet, how much energy you use, but also what are your vital signs? How well are you doing in terms of health? What kind of specific genetic quirks do you have? What's your genome telling you about your health, about your mental health?
You know what? This is why they got to get the Bible out of the hands of the common man, because when people believe the gospel, that great anomaly, the Holy Ghost, indwells them. And now he enables them to think and enlightens them and illuminates them to truth. And this they can't control. So we got to get the real Bible out of the hands of the common man. So give him anything but the King James or the Geneva. And definitely got to get rid of their Textus Receptus and the Masoretic text, get rid of those two things and give the corrupt texts so they can be skewed and not have the power of God to resist this. And that's where the vast majority of these churches are today. So this is the great quest of Satan to, in his attempt to impose his world government and his mystery of iniquity, he has to get the Bible, the Reformation Bible, in the language of the common man, out of their hands, because it enervates their thinking, and the devil can't stop that.
Yes, sir. Amen. And gives men principles they're willing to lay their lives down for. Now, confirming the invasion of privacy that will invariably result from such technologies sold to the public in the name of progress and as a type of enhancement, in a video right from the World Economic Forum's official YouTube channel, once again, that's titled "What Is the Fourth Industrial Revolution?" They tell us, quote, "The very idea of humans being some sort of a natural concept is really going to change. Our bodies will be so high tech, we won't be able to really distinguish between what's natural and what's artificial." You might ask yourself, can we get to be superhumans once we can access people's thoughts and access people's emotions? And unquote. Of course, this concept of humans becoming supermen or Ubermenschen, it's the seeking of a biological superiority, goes right back to the Nazis.
Right. That's exactly right. And that's what all the royal families believe about themselves, that they are the Übermenschen, that they're the superior race, the superior people, the blue bloods, and everybody else is their inferior, that they were born to rule over us. And that's the doctrine of divine right of kings, which is repudiated by the Bible and the Protestant Reformation.
Sure. And of course, the reality couldn't be further from the truth.
Right.
So
So the
let me.
worst man that ever lived were these divine writers, the greatest
Yes,
mass
sir.
murderers, the greatest persecutors. Yeah,
Including the popes.
absolutely.
The
They claim to
chiefest of
have
all.
royal blood. Yeah, they have the Conti and the Colonnas and all their different bloodlines. They think they're so special and they're destined to rule, and that's why they can be so cruel, because they believe they have the divine right to rule the way they want to rule.
Amen. Now, leaving us no doubt as to whether or not the folks pushing this stuff realize the potential for abuse, I relay to you now the following statements from the aforementioned Yuval Noah Harari. He says in one video, "My brain, my body, my life, does it belong to me, or to some corporation, or to the government, or perhaps the human collective? Today, we have the technology to hack human beings on a massive scale. In this time of crisis, you have to follow the science. It's often said that you should never allow a good crisis go to waste. Data might enable human elites to do something even more radical than just build digital dictatorships. By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself. Now, in the past, many tyrants and governments wanted to do it, but nobody understood biology well enough, and nobody had enough computing power and data to hack millions of people. Neither the Gestapo nor the KGB could do it. But soon, at least some corporations and governments will be able to systemically hack all the people. And if indeed we succeed in hacking and engineering life, this will be not just the greatest revolution in the history of humanity, this will be the greatest revolution in biology since the very beginning of life. Science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design. Not the intelligent design of some god above in the clouds, but our intelligent design and the intelligent design of our clouds, the IBM cloud, the Microsoft cloud. These are the new driving forces of evolution, unquote.
And that's when you get your monsters. That's when you get your Frankensteins. That's when you get the end game of all of this is a horror show.
Yes, sir. So it's becoming quite clear that these men literally want to dethrone God and all remembrance of him and turn human beings into biological robot slaves. Now, Harari and the organization which he represents, the World Economic Forum, are, it turns out, of the same mind as the likes of the Gestapo and KGB, which he mentioned. Harari bluntly outlined their purposes as follows in another video. He says, "Do you have access to what is happening inside your body and brain? Or, sorry, do you give access to what is happening inside of your body and brain in exchange for far better health care? And my guess is that health will win, hands down. People will give up their privacy in exchange for healthcare, and maybe in many places they won't have a choice. Everybody will have to wear biometric bracelets, which constantly monitor your blood pressure, your heart rate, and your brain activity 24 hours a day."
You
You
know,
listen.
they perfected that with these pilots.
Ah.
They're sixth generation pilots. They're monitoring everything. And you know, that's even illustrated in Tom Cruise's movie, Top Gun Maverick, where they're monitoring everything about when he's a pilot.
Interesting. Now, here's the worst of it. And then he says, "You listen to a speech on the radio by the great leader, and they know exactly what you actually feel. You can clap your hands and smile, but if you're angry, they know you'll be in the gulag tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Now, this is somebody that's in favor. He is the agenda contributor for the World Economic Forum. So this isn't somebody opposed to this. He actually believes in all this. And
so it's not really about economics. It's about completely reshaping the entire, all the nations to their design. Right?
It's,
so to call it World Economic Forum foreign, well, people say, oh, who cares about economics? No, it's not. It's world recreation, reconstruction forum. That's what they ought to call it.
Well, and so what we're seeing, to break it all down as simply as possible, this is the New World Order. This is how it's implemented on behalf of the Jesuits' papacy. And these are the front organizations that they're using to do it. And now, at this juncture, after all the podcasts we've done together, it should be apparent to the listening audience that remarks such as these about, well, you'll be in the gulag tomorrow if we can tell you're clapping, but you're not really happy, that they are intended, similar to the over-the-top Jew versus Gentile narration found in the protocols, to cause a reaction. For if these aims that they're espousing are true, publicly disclosing them in this manner, it would be absolutely self-defeating. And this is essential to note, as this organization, which we tied to the Jesuits in the previously mentioned broadcast, is being given to us by an Israeli-born Jew, Yuval Noah Harari, this mouthpiece for these over-the-top admissions of authoritarian ambition, must therefore, as far as I can tell, be as another means to scapegoat the Jews.
Absolutely. And does he live in Israel?
I don't know if he's still there. I know he was Israeli born. I believe he is, though.
Mm-hmm. So this is just another one of the Pope's court Jews living in his revived Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem, facilitating the government that rules the Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem for the Pope. So Netanyahu works for the Pope. All those guys do. So they couldn't care less about the beloved Hebrew, Jewish, Israelite people that live there. They just want to rule over them with this revived Latin Kingdom, where Jerusalem will be the capital for the Pope one day as the Antichrist.
Sure, and we had quoted from this Yuval Noah Harari's book in a previous broadcast, and it's titled Homo Deus, A Brief History of Tomorrow, published in 2015, in which he stated the Vatican was the closest thing 12th century Europe had to Silicon Valley. So,
well, that tyranny in the Pope's meridian of papal power, he wants to go there. You know, there's a book called The 13th Century, The Greatest of Centuries. And it's about, so Knight of Columbus, he's an American author, and he tells what a great thing it would be if we went back to the 13th century. So it's the same thing playing out today. And would to God there would be an army of preachers that would preach against it. But how can they when they're using a Roman Catholic Bible?
Yeah. Sure, and when they dumb us all down with the food and public education and the lot of it.
Every front is on every front that comes against you. So that's why we need to have our own school. That's why we have our churches need to, our greatest tools or our greatest weapons are our libraries. Not that we give up our guns, but the libraries teach us how to use the guns. And remember, the Pope knows this very same thing, because the Vatican Library has 50 miles of shelving underneath it. So they're consulting all their ancient texts. So has this been done before? How'd they succeed? That's right. So
that's remarkable.
Yep.
Now, in terms of the technology they're espousing, lest we think some of the more advanced applications being put forth to be just some far-out sci-fi fantasy not worth taking seriously, evidently, according to Hewlett and Packard's website, also known as HP, they've developed a nanotechnology they call SENSE, C-E-N-S-E, which stands for Central Nervous System for Earth. And it consists of a highly intelligent network of billions of nanoscale sensors designed to feel, taste, smell, see, and hear what is going on in the world. They state of this technology, when fully deployed, these sensors will quickly gather data and transmit it to powerful computing engines, which will analyze and act upon the information in real time. While most of the proposed applications on the page deal with environmentalism and infrastructure maintenance, like bridges and stuff like that, they also list disease control and patient monitoring as applications that are intended.
That sounds somewhat like that Tom Cruise movie, where they're foreseeing a crime that's going to be committed and then seek to stop it. Minority Report.
Okay.
All that technology's in there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, in another exhibit establishing the threat of this type of technology, sometime around 2013, a U.S. Department of Defense document was leaked titled Nano Domestic Quell that outlined a plan to put nanotechnology in food, water, and chemtrails, as well as in the jibby jab jabs for, quote, future activation, unquote. This was confirmed as an authentic document by the NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden in October of 2013 in a tweet. And this document, Nano Domestic Quell, indicated in it a U.S. infection rate, as they called it, among the general population of 87.2%, with a projected 98% infection rate by January 2014. In other words, when they're saying infection, they mean people that have assimilated this nanotechnology that they're putting in the food and the chemtrails into their bodies. Now, interesting enough, the definition of quell, of the namesake of this document, according to Oxford Dictionary, is to put an end to a rebellion or other disorder.
Yeah, like reading the Bible and having freedom of conscience and press, yeah.
That's a
disorder.
Exactly right. So evidently then, the aim of this nano domestic quell program is to put an end to the so-called rebellion and disorder that is the opposition to the new world order, evidently through the use of nanotechnology. And this would, of course, as you alluded to, Brother Eric, result in pre-crime type prosecutions and also attempts at behavior modification through the use of electromagnetic frequencies and or the release of certain chemicals and hormones in the body through the very types of mRNA technologies that they put in the jibby jab jabs.
Yeah. Yep, makes perfect sense.
Perfect. Now, it turns out, even though we're only talking about this now in light of the fourth industrial revolution term that became popularized with COVID-19, that this stuff's actually been being discussed for a long time. I cite a YouTube video, I think it's on the channel Big Think, but it's from June 27th of 2011, and it has Ray Kurzweil speaking in it, who is the director of engineering for Google, who was, I believe, personally hired by the Sergey Brin, who originally owned it. And he said in this interview, he said, well, let's start from today. We have virtual worlds like Second Life, which is a video game. And he says, the next step is we're going to put it in our eyeglasses. It will beam images to our retina. Go out 10 years, it'll be just about as realistic as real reality, but still not within the nervous system. Go out 20 years, 25 years, these nanobots, these blood cell-sized devices will be going in our bodies, keeping us healthy from inside. We'll have some go inside our brains through the capillaries, non-invasively. They'll be interacting with our biological neurons. They'll extend our memory, our decision-making faculties. They'll put our brains on the internet, and they'll also enable us to enter virtual reality environment from within the nervous system. So if I want to go into a virtual reality environment, the nanobots will shut down the signals coming from my real eyes and my real skin and create the signals that would be appropriate for the virtual environment, and then I will feel like I'm in that environment.
Yeah. Well, you know what? My son got some of these goggles. I think it's something like that. Anyway, he said, hey, just put these on, Dad. And you put them on, and we're out on a boat, and they were shark diving, and the sharks are swimming by you, and it's like they're really there. I couldn't believe it. Like you could just reach out and touch them. So it's a completely fake, false world that they want to put us in to make us believe that it's true ultimately.
Sure, and well, what's really frightening about what they're proposing is they want to put these nanobots inside of our blood so they can shut down our actual nervous system and put us in false realities. And obviously, if they're actually capable of producing such technology, and I kind of doubt that they are, but if they are, it would obviously be used by the CIA and other arms of the church to put people in virtual hells of the
Right.
most unimaginable kind for their so-called heresies and wrongthink.
That's right. Heresies and wrong think. Very good.
Now, and part of the reason that I'm skeptical about to what degree they're actually capable of producing all this technology is because in typical Ordo Ab Kahn, order out of chaos fashion, it was these very types of technologies with their inherent threats of abuse that the former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson pointed to when speaking to world leaders in 2019 at the United Nations, appealing for the adoption of a universal set of values, which of course necessitates a universal moral authority and then a universal government with which to enforce these values. And
And there's no universal moral authority greater than the Pope. Yeah.
Since this ostensibly Protestant who was raised Catholic, Boris Johnson, married the Roman Catholic Carrie Symonds in a Catholic ceremony, and then they proceeded to have their son baptized Catholic, we need not guess the moral authority to which he appeals.
Absolutely. That's exactly right, my brother.
Yes, sir. So, well, we're just about over an hour here, and if we commenced with the next section, it would probably be another 20 minutes. So I think for this evening, we will call it at that juncture.
Very good, my brother. Hey, 24/7 World Radio Podcast on this day of April the 9th, 2025, with Brother Stephen Drake in his continual reading and elucidation of his book, Jesuit World Order, which I'm becoming more and more impressed and fascinated the more we continue to do this. I think he's right on target. And so I want to thank you again, Brother Stephen, for being on. And you go ahead and give us your contact information, please.
Yes, sir. So today we took a scrutinizing look at the dark ambitions of the euphemistically named Fourth Industrial Revolution and Great Reset. My name is Stephen Drake, author of the upcoming book, Jesuit World Order: The History and Destiny of Man, explored through the lens of COVID-19. Find us online at jesuitworldorder.org. I may be reached at stephen@jesuitworldorder.org. Please send us a gift. We're in need of help to get this project completed. By mail, Stephen Drake, P.O. Box 9, Brockton, New York, 14716. And that is Brockton, Brockton, no K there. If you prefer PayPal, that's sdrake088@gmail.com, or by Cash App at #JesuitWorldOrder. And just before signing off here, for any of the listeners that went looking for April 2nd's broadcast and found the 26th on Brother Eric's website, that was a glitch that's been corrected. So if you revisit there, you will find the broadcast that we did from last week, which was on FEMA camps.
Yes. Hey man, thank you for pointing that out to me, and I made the correction. Brother Vlad, thank you also for pointing that out. So I'm glad you guys are keeping tabs on me to make sure I post these things correctly.
With all,
Okay. Yeah.
yes, sir. Amen, brother. We all need a little help every once in a while.
Yes, we do. Okay, so Brother John Phelps, again, 24/7 World Radio Podcast on this April the 9th, 2025. May you continue to believe the gospel, and having truly been saved by the grace of God, believing that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, God commanding all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30, and believe the wonderful gospel of 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again, and as John chapter 1, verse what 14 states, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So may the Lord bless you as you seek to do his will according to his word, the AV 1611 Reformation English Bible.
Amen, Maranatha.
Thank you.